Mr. Clarkson, reel 35.
From your point of view, the places like the rest homes were very good, and yeah. You weren't pressed. You didn't feel. Did you feel comfortable in them? You
very. Yes.
That way.
Yes, as I say, there was nobody. It wasn't just like a parson or Salvation Army officer leading you to and preaching to you or anything like that. That was all cut out.
Did you feel free in Aggie Westerns?
Oh, yes.
Free from the things, shipboard things and discipline and that? Was
very,
it?
Very much. I think they were a godsend, they were. And not only that, you could take your... If your family came down to Portsmouth, you could take them in for a meal. And everything was so cheap. Yes, it's... I don't know how we would have gone on with Adam, because the... There was nowhere else. I mean, lodgings or anything. I did have some lodgings. That was through a girl that I was friendly with from our village. She used to go down with her mother on a holiday there, and when they'd gone, I stayed there with these people, a retired policeman and his wife. I used to have a room there. But
you grew out of Aggie Westerns eventually, and you wanted a place for yourself at
yes,
some time.
A place where you could keep your civilian clothes, and weekends you could have a lay-in on a Sunday or anything like that. Because Aggie Westerns used to start at 6 o'clock in the morning with the bell ringing, going up and down. Hey, oh, 6 o'clock and all's well. Well, then 6:30. I mean, he used to come past your door and perhaps stand there waving this thing. And 6:30 used to be another lot, so you knew you didn't really get a rest after 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And it was usually pretty quiet with drunks or anything like that. Pretty quiet of a night time.
Yeah. And most of the other men were in favour of places like Aggie Westerns.
I think so,
men.
Yes.
Did you hear anyone complain about them, about the way they were run? Or
never.
The nature
I
of them?
I don't think I ever heard anybody complain about them. No.
Can I just go forward then and pick up the point you made? It's related to this in a way, but it's something more specific. You mentioned anyway the question when we were talking before about religion at sea and the nature of religion in the Navy. Now, what was it precisely?
To me, it was a curse. Now, I was listed as a Roman Catholic.
You were listed as a Roman Catholic
yes.
when you joined the Navy?
Yes, I gave my religion as a Roman Catholic. Now, that was in the 1914 war, and shortly afterwards, I was away out in the Red Sea. After a while, when I was a leading hand, I found I was the senior Roman Catholic. Actually, there was a PO, but he didn't want the job. So Clarkson was always detailed for this Sunday morning. If we were in harbour, we used to go down to Aden about every 5 weeks, I suppose, off patrol. And then we had to go ashore, church party, and sit in that stuffy little place full of wogs. And always see the fellow outside pulling the punk all the time. The sweat was streaming off us, and you start to sit there for this service, then stand outside in the heat waiting for a boat to take us off to the... This was every Sunday we were there.
What was he pulling? Pulling the...
A punker. You know the...
Oh, the punker.
Yes.
Yes, that's... Yes.
Now then we go to Colombo to refit and recuperate. Well, the lads had plenty of money then. We'd accumulated quite a bit. And they'd go ashore on a Saturday night and get full up. And the roads in Colombo, you know, all red earth, where they'd been rolling around there, they'd come off at 7 o'clock in the morning. And they're all half doped then and all filthy. Well, they had to clean themselves up and had to land again at 8 o'clock to go to the Roman Catholic service. And I had to land with them in charge. Well, it'd be 17 or 18 then, I suppose. Well, It was the cathedral at Maradona was about, well, I reckon about 4 miles away. We had to walk there. Well, it was impossible to get this crowd. I used to have about 12 or 14 of them. Impossible to get them all that way in that state they were in. And so I used to march them straight up to Chatham Street to the White Horse first and let them have a couple of quick ones. And then they were all right. And off we would go to Maradona. And that was right down the native quarter. And when we got there, I used to usher them into the back, two back pews, right at the back of the cathedral. And I had to walk all the way down the aisle. The place would be crowded and hot, all the niggers and everybody there. Now, I had to go up to the altar to present the priest with the chit, with the numbers I had on there, and he got fourpence a head for them, you see. So he had to sign that to say that I delivered the bodies and he could claim his fourpence a head. By the time I got back, they were all fast asleep. And then he'd get up there and he had to bawl and shout to make himself heard down there. Preach about the sin of drunkenness and lust. Well, this carried on. I got fed up with this. Every Sunday I used to have it. Back to the Red Sea again. Every Sunday in Aden. And so, years afterwards, I was on the Iron Duke then, and the same thing was happening. We were in dry dock in Malta. And I wasn't the senior Roman Catholic then. And so a PO was allowed out the gates in Malta without a pass. So on Sunday mornings, I used to, if we're in dry dock, we had to use the shore lavatories, of course, and the docker. I used to go over there and then quietly amble out through the Bromley gates up to a little pub called the Starboard Light. That was it. And there I used to play billiards, probably have a haircut, play billiards and have a couple of drinks, walk back again by about 11, well, just as the rum was coming up. And then one day the master at arms said, your name called out again for church party this morning, you weren't there. Oh, I said, we'll have to get over that somehow. I'd done that two or three times, and eventually I was lined up before the officer of the day. And he said, your name's been called later, he said, for the last 3 Sundays and you haven't been there. And he was just going to say commander's report, and I said, now look, I don't believe in this religion. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, and I don't like being sent every Sunday. I've had just about got a basin full of it. I said, so I'd like to see the commander to change my religion, see the captain. Oh, well, in that case, he said, scrub around it for a while. It went on for another couple of weeks, and eventually I was warned again, so I put down to change my religion. And I got up before the famous captain. He wasn't a very religious fellow, Captain Rose. That was the fellow that went mad afterwards, Biff Rose. But when I got up to the lined up with the defaulters and requestmen, I could see the parson, the Church of England chap, standing up there waiting to receive me, I suppose. And I got the wind up. However, just as my name was called, so he was called away. Somebody had come aboard to see him. And the captain said, what do you wish to change religion for? And I said, well, I was brought up to be Roman Catholic, I said, but haven't reached the years of discretion, I've decided that it isn't the faith that I want, that I believe in. He said, what do you want to change to then? And I thought, well, the easiest thing, Church of England. You can always get out of that, there's so many of them. And all right, I was changed to the Church of England. Well, our boss, he was a Catholic, a bloke we didn't like, and he pleaded with me, but no, I wouldn't change. It was what I wanted, and that was all right. Now then, a fellow messmate of mine, he said, here, that was easy. He said, I'm changing mine. And so he did. And when he got up there, the parson was there, and he said, of course, we'd have to baptise, he said, into the faith, and in front of the ship's company on Sunday morning when we had the service. So he came back to me, said, I'm going to tell him. I said, you can tell him what you like. I said, but I'm not being baptised. Anyhow, I said, I'll be up to see you, George, when you get baptised. And I was. And George was baptised into the Church of England faith. I remember that. But that was the way of religion. You had to go. Church of England were all right. Everybody used to go in the Church of England service, of course, is... I don't know, you're not a Roman Catholic, I suppose, are you? No. But it was always so mystifying to me, always. Now, my sister's a Catholic, but she agrees with me in lots of ways. She's 4 years older than me, and she does have the Reverend Father comes round to see us. I said, you want to tell him, I said, when he comes round asking you for money and things like that, what he wants to do is to serve some of his patrons out with pills. Not money. However, that was religion, and
was it entirely the Navy that put you off religion? Then I mean, was it? Or had you
definitely
the Navy?
Yes.
Was that? I mean, this wasn't a kind of spiritual.
Oh no,
this was a purely
because when we were in Colombo, the same place. Although I was pushed to the Catholic Church every Sunday, I used to go to evening service at a Presbyterian church, a volunteer. The three of us used to go, regular as clockwork, and if I could get out of the Sunday morning Catholic service, I would go to the Presbyterian and volunteer for it. Oh no, it wasn't
that. But the thing was, the Navy forced you to go to church.
Yes.
Because you were a Roman Catholic, you must attend church.
Oh yes.
Because you were Church of England,
yes.
You must attend church.
Yes.
What did they do for Presbyterians and for Wesleyans and people like that? Were they... Church of England, because...
Now then, I think they used to go to Church of England, yes. And then, of course, and if you didn't go, if you were caught skulking from it, well, you were punished. Oh, no,
And what was the general Lord Deck feeling about the church? What did the men feel about the church, the average hand? I mean, did he...
Well, nobody liked it, because... Sunday morning, the only day in the week that you were free, sort of thing, that you didn't have to work, that was the worst morning of the week. By the time you cleaned yourself and been inspected, and then in most cases you had to shift all the mess stools all aft to make seats for the congregation, that sort of thing. You were taken right up to dinner time, and in the hot weather you were all dressed up and nowhere to go, and you're sweating, and it was a horrible morning. That was Sunday morning.
And what about the padres then? How did people feel about the padre and the chaplain?
Well, they didn't have any time for it. But I'll tell you, the man I've ever had the most respect for was a padre who came out to us in the Red Sea. I'd love to see him again if he's still alive. Out there, our ship's company were comprised of hooligans, jailbirds, Mercantile Marine Reserve. Oh, they were a crowd of villains, some of them. And out, they decided that we should have a chaplain for our ship and the other small ships there. And this fella came out from Frimley. His name was Mitchell. And he dug up an old squeeze box and brought it along and asked me to repair it, which I did. And everybody was prepared to give him the raspberry. They didn't want any parson there. They were going to give him a dog's life. But he persevered in his quiet way. He'd sit down of an evening, get the organ out on a Sunday, and say, now we'll have a prayer or two, but first of all, the latest hit from London. And he'd have that, and he could play that on the organ. And he was a fella that interested himself in everybody. At night when they were coming off drunk or anything like that, he'd be there to lead them down below. I've seen him sitting down in the corner, and they're stuffing fish and chips into him. They got to like him so much. And if anybody was in trouble, he went to enormous lengths domestic trouble at home or anything like that. And eventually, young Mitchell, he was the kingpin. He couldn't do wrong. And the biggest villains there, when eventually he left the ship to go home, they went ashore, they all got drunk, I remember in Aden, and they collected and they bought him a whole lot of silver stuff, you know, for his altar when he got home. And they cheered him when he left the ship, and the officers pulled him away and they gave. That is the finest parson I've ever come across. He was a good fellow.